Welcome out, everybody. We are at Pizza John's in beautiful All Essex. Right. You give a round of applause Great. Here. We're doing it for There Goes My Hero. Dutch Rupert's Burger is here. We call it WNST programming, but really this is the launch of Baltimore Positive. Don, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. Don Mueller, former Baltimore County Executive. I got two guys that have run. You guys, do you get free pizza when you're Baltimore County Executive?
You don't get any
pizza.
Free.
You don't get anything free.
Other than advice.
Advice. All right, I'm just checking, man. I figure sort of as an emeritus status right. when you're former Baltimore County Executive, you maybe get free pizza, but I don't know.
Really. You can't take anything free.
Well, at least you got a great place to get pizza.
Which Pizza John's.
Pizza John's,
right
absolutely, man.
Well, Nestor, as
Baltimore
I said, I can't think of a better guest for the first broadcast of Baltimore Positive than Dutch. And Dutch really embodies, I don't want to embarrass him, but he really embodies, I think, the type of elected official that folks are looking for in this day and age. Dutch, maybe you talk about it a little bit. I think it's almost legendary in the sense that over your career, you've been seen as sort of this bipartisan guy going across the aisle. I guess at one time in Congress, they called them blue dog Democrats. You've never really cared so much about who gets the credit, and you've been able, this is your ninth term, that doesn't even compute to me, after two terms as county executive, two terms on the county council, I think two times as council chair. Tell me about your philosophy of government, because when we talk about Baltimore Positive...
Baltimore, 90 minutes right. out on the mayor resigning, right? So let's set the stage on this. 90 minutes ago, I ordered a cheesesteak here, and by the time the cheesesteak came, we had a new mayor.
Right.
We're in uncharted territory.
They're known for their pizza here, by the way.
Well, they are. Okay. I'm taking one to go.
Exactly right. And you know what, Nestor? It's captured. We should also say that not only 90 minutes after the mayor resigns, but an hour or so before that, and Dutch and I have lived this horror, a Baltimore County police officer was shot in the line of duty. Now, the initial reports that Dutch and I are receiving is the officer is on the way to recovery. That's great news. But Dutch has been at shock trauma with police officers.
Changes your day.
I've had to bury a police officer with four young kids sitting in the front row and his wife. That is not a positive issue, and it was a real shame, but
it's
that's
awful.
Part of the job. You had to do it, too.
It's awful. So going back again.
But I thank you for the kiss-up with me. I appreciate that.
Well, I think it's true, okay, Dutch. No. And as I said, I've said publicly, one of the first people that I went to, Nestor, when I was appointed by the county council as county executive, was to Dutch. And Dutch, along with a number of the other executives, gave me a great piece of advice that day.
How many other executives are around? A lot of executives still alive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Ted Vitatulis at an event a couple
Ted,
weeks ago.
Yeah, you have Don Hutchison, you have Dennis Rasmussen, you have Roger Hayden.
Jim Smith.
I was thinking.
So you had a lot of places you could go for advice.
And they were all very, very willing to give that advice. And all of them, but Dutch was really the first one to step up and say, whatever you do, be the county executive. Don't think of yourself as an interim. Be the county executive and take charge. And that's always sort of, I think, been Dutch's philosophy. Get in there, make decisions, no matter how hard. But Dutch, I want to go all the way back. What is it about your philosophy of government? Because that's what we're going to talk a
first
lot
thing,
about.
Yeah. The key to governing, number one, is, especially in a big job like Baltimore County, including teachers, you manage 22,000 people and a billion-dollar budget. So part of what you need to do, you have to have good people working for you. We have a lot of people who work for you in the campaign, but you've got to get the best people as your department heads because it's serious business. And then a lot of it has to do with trust and relationships. And that has to do with anything in life, trust and relationships. And what I mean by that, that when you manage a lot of people, you get the people that are working for you and you give them their mission and you say to them, I'm going to give you the mission and the resources. You let me know what you need, but I'm going to hold you accountable. And then you have to also go see the people who work with you in the county. People refer to government workers as bureaucrats or whatever. That's not right. They're hardworking men and women who work very hard, whether it's federal, state, or local.
And they're serving the people same as you are.
Yeah,
that's it.
The government is a service business. The government is a service business. And so you need to make sure that you hold people accountable. Now, let's talk about what happened with the mayor here today. I've known the mayor for a long time. I mean, when I was in the county council, that was probably the late 90s and going, I mean, late 80s and going into the 90s. And I think what you have a lot of time, you have people who never had experience in managing. And like for the mayor, she was on the city council. She knew Baltimore, and then state. I think delegate, and then state senator. But I think what happens when people get those jobs and they come in, they're kind of overwhelmed, and that's why it's important that you have the best people you can. You set a plan, and you also have to reach out to your frontline people. You know, when I became county executive, one of the first things I did was to go to every single department and see the people, and I said,
"How many departments is that?" I just want to ask you guys for the next mayor, what waits on their desk, right? So someone becomes mayor, they obviously have no experience being a mayor, right? They can be, to your point, you don't have
well,
that
you
job
might, you might
have
not,
a job, right?
But if you don't, you hire people around you that do. That's the key.
So what are the 10 or 12 departments, or what are the things that the mayor is responsible for? I'm a city taxpayer. I've been paying my whole life. Part of this was, Dom was a social studies teacher I didn't have in high school. He was my guidance counselor. And I don't think people even know what a mayor or a county executive, what they really do every day, you know?
Well,
go ahead.
They manage. And bottom line, the management is, what are the basics in local government? That's where the rubber meets the road. You've got to deal with the education issues. You've got to deal with the crime issues. You have to deal with infrastructure. That's extremely important, taking care of infrastructure. And by the way, when you take care of infrastructure, this is the mistake, I think, that Trump made. If Trump would have started out focusing on infrastructure, that's a bipartisan issue, and it creates thousands of jobs.
Everyone hates potholes.
Right, right. And, well, it's not only that. It's fixing things, making things, building roads, you know, building libraries, building schools, all those different things. And that's the basics. That's what local government is about. And, you know, Washington would be a lot better off if everyone was required to serve in local government first before they got over to Washington with all the idealistic issues on both sides of the aisle.
Well, Dutch, you've often said, you've said it publicly many times. You've said it. Jim Smith said it. Yeah. Don Hutchinson said it. Dennis said it. I think Ted said it. Best job you ever had, county executive.
Yeah, because if you want to be in politics, I mean, look, we get criticized all the time, unfortunately. But most of the people I know in politics are good people. They want to make a difference. And they want to serve. And in local government, you're really serving at being closest to the people. And that's the key, to want to be able to serve, to want to make a difference. And then you have to know what your issues are. So you can't sit in your office all day and think you're going to learn what to do. You've got to go out. You've got to see people. The problem in Washington, we're over there all the time. 80% of our time is in Washington, and that's where we're required to be. I love coming back to my district and doing consistent work. I like going to you know, different places, and Pizza John's, or, you know, diners and those type of things, because you see the average people. Just going to, when I came in here, before I walked in your room, I probably talked to about 7-8 people who said, "Hey, Dutch, how you doing?"
But it's easy to get lost, and it's probably harder. It's hard, not easy for you, because you can drive to D.C., but if you're a congressperson from New Mexico, right? I mean, getting back to your own constituency,
right, or if you're,
is a very difficult thing, well, to go home and get a slice
of
pizza.
But let's talk about driving. I don't like driving. Let me tell you. It takes me 2.5 mornings to go to Washington, 1 hour non-rush hour. Coming over here with 2.5 hours.
If we built better trains in this country, like,
well,
we have,
yeah,
in Europe, we have
thing.
In Asia, we not, should be able to get to New York in an hour and
not,
a half.
Not only trains, right. That's why maglev comes along, because that's an important issue. It's controversial. Because nobody likes having anything done.
I've been to Asia. I know what it looks like.
If you do it the right way, we have no plans to fix the traffic between Washington and Baltimore. We need to focus on a high-speed rail that won't have negative impact on the communities. But people are afraid when they hear something is going to come. If we could do it along the 295 corridor, it would be a home run. But we've got to keep working on those issues. And that costs a lot of money.
Transportation, Dutch, is an issue. I saw on Friday night, Facebook was blowing up with people who were trying to get from Baltimore to the Eastern Shore, and it took them over 2 hours to get across the bridge.
Hey,
transportation.
I've had longer time than that going from Washington to Cockeysville.
Come on, we got three old guys here. Remember,
wait a minute.
In the 70s.
Once you hit the 60 club, 60s a new 40, so we're all okay. Go ahead.
I'm 10 years out on that.
Okay.
I can't wait. Politicians, they'll tell you anything here. We're turning back the clock.
And you got to tell the truth. You tell it straight up. Go ahead.
Well, hey, Dutch, one of my theories is that folks who become real leaders, they're grounded in lessons that they learned growing up. You went to City College. You went to Maryland.
I grew up in Baltimore.
You grew up in Baltimore. You said you actually lived over here in tall trees.
As a little baby, I don't remember.
What were those lessons that Al and Peggy taught you as a little guy that you've taken with you that you think have been key parts to your success?
Two things: faith, family, and friends, and the other, the golden rule. And I think I see Jamie's out there, my press secretary, or whatever.
Former Baltimore Examiner, alum of mine for one night.
And, she grew up in the Baltimore area, too. But, you know, the golden rule, treat others as you like to be treated. Now, what you have to learn in politics, you're never going to please everybody. And especially now, we're so split in both sides of the aisle and whatever. And, you know, it's really unfortunate because really most people want the same that we all want. They want to be able to live in their home. They want to raise their family, have their grandkids. They want to be able to go to work. They want to have a job. And we've got so far away. This immigration issue is really splitting our country. And you know, there are a lot of issues dealing with that. But if you really look at the facts, immigration isn't having that big of an impact on my district. As an example, we don't have that many immigrants that have come into my district. A lot of other places, there are a lot.
Son of an immigrant right here.
Okay, there you
Venezuela,
go.
Venezuela, so, 1960.
But we need to have laws. We need to have regulations. And we have to make sure that we do have security at our border. We have to have a system that works. And we almost had that. The Senate passed it, but the Republican Speaker about 4 years ago wouldn't put it on the floor. We got to get beyond these issues and get back to where we are in our country. It's the most dangerous time in the world right now. We have Russia-China threat. You have ISIS threat. You have all these different issues. Iran, North Korea. And, you know, what about USA first and the American flag and patriotism? You know, I'm a real sports nut. I've been playing sports all my life, I know. And, you know, I brag about it, but my when I played at City College, my football coach, George Young, became general manager of the Giants and had two Super Bowls for the Giants.
I knew he liked me because he was tough on me.
Well, he was a tough on everybody, believe me. I tried playing for him.
I tried getting him on my radio show. Yeah. It was impossible.
But you know, and then the Orioles. I remember when I was before I could drive. And I used to hitchhike to Memorial Stadium. Those were the days when you could hitchhike. And we'd have a couple of us who would hitchhike to the stadium, pay 50 cents to go in the bleachers. And if we went early, that's where the bullpen, the players would throw balls up to us. These were part of the memories of Baltimore. What broke my heart, because I never missed a Colt game. My father and I would go, my brother. When the Colts left, we had this unfortunately drunk Ursay that ruined our team, took our team out, and you know, it was really traumatic for a lot of people in this town. And that's why, thank goodness, when I was county executive, I was able to work very closely, you know, with the people who brought the Ravens here. Because what happened, the Washington teams, the Washington suburbs, you know, my friends over there, your friends, you know, the delegates and senators, they were trying to kill the deal because they were Redskin fans. And we were able to win, I think, by 5 votes. My numbers might be wrong here, but by 5 votes in the House and 3 votes in the Senate, or we wouldn't have had our stadium or the Ravens here.
The Ravens are a miracle. The fact that they exist, I don't think my son's 34. He doesn't really have... He was a boy, you know, when the team came. He was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody... you have to be our age to have watched them leave. And I told Kevin Byrne last week, I remember how hard it was to get you here and what it took to get these teams and what it gets.
No, we had a battle.
It took to keep the Orioles here when Ever Bennett Williams...
And I'm worried about the Orioles right now.
We should be worried about the Orioles.
And I'll tell you why. I think, you know, the two sons have taken over, Lou and John, and, you know, they've been trained well by their father. And, you know, Major League Baseball is trying to hurt them. You know, they give up 2/3 of their fan base, but they agreed to work it out. And Peter Angelos worked a deal with the former commissioner. And now that's changed. Baseball has ruled against the Orioles. And, you know, if you don't have income coming in, and a lot of it's through Masson, the deal was the Orioles would have a certain amount, and then the Nationals. Well, the Nationals don't want that. And Major League Baseball has basically ruled with the Nationals. So we have got to make sure, and we're working on it by Elijah Cummings, John Sarbanes. We're trying to do whatever we can do to help the Orioles make sure they can maintain the agreement that was cut with them, because their tradition of our team and the Orioles, and it goes way back, and we have the best best baseball stadium in the country.
We're 2.5 years away from the lease being up now, though, right? Yeah, I mean, that's where we are.
But it's just you need cash flow. I mean, if you're in business, you need cash flow. And when you give up 2/3 of your fan base to the Nationals, the Peter Angelos worked a deal to make sure they could cover themselves because they wouldn't have the revenue that they had if the Nationals didn't come.
I wrote a book about it. I'm familiar with it. Trust me. I was up late at night. Dutch Ruppersberger is here. It is Baltimore Positive. Yeah. Don Moeller is here. Two former Baltimore
Yeah, let's do this. You know, we're talking about going around. Let's talk about Baltimore Positive.
Let's do that.
Because I can tell you right now.
Well, we need a mayor. Let's start with that. So we're ground zero here.
We can never be ground zero. You got a tough time to go.
Look, we're at the beginning, though.
Yeah, we have an opportunity to start and do things right. But here's the issue. Baltimore is a great town. I work in Washington, you know, a lot in my life now. And the Washington suburbs, it's usually not families that have been around the area for a long time. We have generations of people. You know, my great-great-grandfather, one of them, in Myersville, a place in western realm between Frederick and Hagerstown, started a farm in the 1860s. The Ruppersberger Meat Company started in about 1880s or 90s on Pennsylvania Avenue, still there. You know, they meat processors and that type of thing.
Is that where the bull got out a couple years ago?
Yeah,
that was
it?
Bull running down Pennsylvania Avenue,
that
was one of yours?
And they still, well, I didn't go in that business. I'm kind of glad. It's tough. My father did.
You blame for everything anyway. Yeah, you're politicians.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's why you get tough skin.
Go back to the thought about Baltimore being
but anyway,
great
Baltimore is positive. So let's talk about how positive it is. Look, we've got the Orioles. We've got the Ravens. You know, we have some of the best restaurants in the country. You know, we have Little Italy. We have Pizza John's. We have generations of families that have been here, and they really care about this town. It's called a blue-collar town, but you want a blue-collar town. You want people who get up every day and you know, they work hard, and they come home, and they raise their family, and then they have their grandkids. And what I used to do as county executive, too, by the way, people don't like to pay for things. But the bottom line, if you want good quality education, you have to pay for it. And the grandparents need to advocate, and they do, for their kids. So, you know, Johnny Ushesky right now, he's the first county executive in a period of time that has raised taxes. No one likes to pay or raise taxes. But if you look at our numbers, if we're slipping in education, if we're slipping in, and I'm not saying we are, but I know we are in education, our numbers are going down. Our numbers are going down in areas like public safety. You know, our fire trucks are getting old, you know, those type of things. There's not a free lunch. My philosophy when I was county executive, I was very focused on economic development. And I like to tell the story, my predecessor Hayden didn't make this as much a priority. And I think during a 4-year period, he created about 800,000 jobs. When I came in, I made that one of my top issues. And we went from 847,000 new jobs, one of the highest percentage increase in the state. But what that did, when you have those jobs, it gave me the revenue to put into education and the public safety and the infrastructure without raising taxes. And now Johnny's got a tough situation here, and he's trying to find a way to work it out so that he can provide the services, yet not pay taxes. But you've got to pay for something.
Well, Dutch, let's
and that's going to be a controversial issue,
well,
by the way.
Let's pick up on that, because you talk about the city. The reason that we've started this project is we do believe Baltimore and Baltimore County and the surrounding counties are joined at the hip. We believe we all go forward together. We've got recent census numbers that show, again, the city lost another 1.5% of its population. It's down to 602,000. Mind-boggling. Baltimore County, as you know, has about 840,000 people.
Yep.
Next year at this time, barring something unforeseeable, the city's going to be down under 600,000 hours. Dutch Ruppersberger, as mayor, what do you do? What, you're in there, you're in the City Hall now. What do you do?
First thing,
get it turned around.
You've got to analyze where you are, what your problems are. You have to look at your basics, and your basics are clearly, you know, the safety of the city is
law
a major issue. Law and order. Okay, you have to make sure you have a quality school system, and that's extremely important. And then you have to start cleaning up the old neighborhoods. If you're going to live on a block with a boarded up home, the neighborhood's dead. You have got to have a system. And I give William Donald Schaefer credit for this.
Dollar houses.
He came up with a system that you'd have these houses that were falling apart, and they would take care of them and turn them over to, say, a young builder for a certain amount of money to allow him to build and rehab it and then start building up the neighborhoods. It starts in the cores of the neighborhood to bring the neighborhoods together and let the neighborhoods start taking over and start policing their streets. And if there's a problem, call a police officer, that type of thing.
Is that private investment or public investment in your mind?
I mean, partnership for both.
From what I understand, in a city, you can have a block of houses, and one of the most expensive things to the taxpayers, and I'm one of them, is when you have a block in a blighted area where three people still live there, but the other 30 are boarded up, the water, the electricity, all the things that go in there become an incredible drag financially on the overall health of the city. But more than that, when it comes time to remove them, because of asbestos, because of lead paint, because of all these issues, even removing them becomes an incredibly expensive proposition.
Well, we did that in Baltimore County. Community conservation, we called it. When I was county executive, we set up a separate department who would work with all the other departments to go identify these neighborhoods where the houses were falling apart, where you know, like tall trees we talked about.
Sure.
You know, I was born after the war, and my mother and father moved to tall trees. My father just come back.
Where was tall trees?
Tall trees was right here,
right up the street.
Yeah.
Up the street. Where? Give me a cross. Old Eastern Avenue, Joe's and Ann's Corner, right? Here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My parents were married at Mount Carmel in 1945.
Well, that's all part of it.
And my parents' first home was in Mars Estates, three blocks from me.
There you go. So homegrown.
There it is.
Right. And so the government is coming in to help people. Government's not bad. People, this thing now, it's unfortunate that, oh, it's all government. Government is bad. That's not the case. You need balance, though. So here you are. Let's talk about Baltimore City as an example. You take an area in Baltimore, a 10-block area, and you've got problems. You've got crime. You have these issues. You take it on. You put in your police department. You put in your fire department. You put in your education. You have a team, and your community conservation pulls it all together, and then you start focusing on the families. Because if you're going to take these homes down or whatever, you have to take people someplace else to live. And it's usually single mother with kids, unfortunately. There's not a lot of male issues. It's a reality. So, you know, then you start focusing, and then you take people. We did that with tall trees. We took people. When we eventually tore that down and we took people out of this situation, which is blighted and drugs and all sorts of problems and kids, you know, not being taken care of, and we moved them to a better living situation. They had help of social services. The teachers and education would focus, and it just started to turn around. We did something in this area. We had some gang problems here. So what we did under our chief of police right now, Terry Sheridan, I think he's one of the best police chiefs in the country. And what we did is that we took a PAL center. You know what the police athletics are? And so we ended up hiring a karate instructor, and we brought the karate instructor to the PAL center here in Essex, and he was teaching people karate. So all of a sudden, all these tough, bad guys, karate, oh yeah, come on in. You know, he went, and they were taught karate. And we turned them around. We flipped them, and they became good citizens. Because no, those kids wouldn't go to PAL. What are you kidding? Those kids. You know, we're tough. So you know, you've got to find ways to reach the kids, and so much of it is reaching the kids. If you look at a lot of crime in the city, a lot of it's juvenile. You know, immature kids that get a gun, they just shoot you, and they don't even understand the consequences sometimes. So you know, we're working around. The basics are. And you got to stick with the basics. And you've got to look at your education system, your crime system, your infrastructure, your housing. You pull all that together. You give people opportunity to invest. You have people who don't have a lot of money. But they have the ability maybe to buy a home very inexpensive in the city, because we're going to tear down these boarded up homes. We're going to turn the whole neighborhood around so people want to live there.
Dutch,
take a quick break and hold that. You hold that thought. All right, Don Moeller here, former Baltimore County Executive. Dutch Ruppersberger, we're at Pizza John's. We are swabbing for the Bone Marrow Registry. For There Goes My Hero. We got to promote. I'm gonna get that in with Dutch. You know about this?
What?
The Bone Marrow Registry. And There Goes My Hero.
I know about it now.
You know about it now. My wife's had her life saved twice on the Bone Marrow Registry. Right. There Goes My Heroes, a local organization. We've asked you to give to them. They're giving it to Pizza John's tonight. We'll tell you more about that.
You know my story, by the way, how I got in politics. I'll tell you when we come back from the break. Shock trauma saved my life. I'll tell you how I got in politics.
There we go.
You got
good,
a question?
Good place to
shock
stop.
Shock trauma. They're Baltimore positive. Let's see. Episode 1, Scene 1, Act 1. In the can. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.